Well, should we do this or not? Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today. I ask that you would take the words that I have and quicken them by your Spirit so they might be a word for us here today and speak to us about our daily living. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about two sides of the same coin today, little things and small things. Little things first. My objective lesson for today is this little cigarette. I smoked cigarettes for 18 years from 1966 to 1984, and during that time I probably smoked 130,000 of these little cigarettes. One at a time. In 1984, I was on the number 6 weekend down in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I left them on the communion table during the Dying Moments communion service. I've never picked them up since then. So since that time, I have not smoked probably 240,000 more of these little things. Now, I don't even want to think about how much that would have cost me just in money, not to mention my health or even my life, for that matter. The Surgeon General knows that. Most of us know that. One of these will not hurt you. One of these will not hurt you. But one by one, by one, by one, by one, by one, they can put you in your grave. It's a little thing. It really is a little thing in our life. It was a little thing in my life. 130,000 little things. Now, that's a negative example. You know, because of that 18 years, there's still a chance that I will suffer from the consequences of my actions. But for 33 years, I've done something else. So maybe that will correct most of that. But I know that little things are the things that make up our lives. Two sides of the same coin. Positive and negative little things that we do. The Bible talks about little things all the time. And I have a number of scriptures here. They're short, little scriptures. Read with me Galatians 5:9. Here we go. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Leaven in bread will leaven the whole loaf over a short period of time. The Bible talks about rudders and tongues. Read with me James 3:4-5. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. The Bible talks about these things. The tongue is the littlest member of the body, but it causes the most trouble, for out of it comes both blessings and curses. The Bible talks about the lampstand church at Philadelphia. Read with me Revelation 3:7-8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. This church was a lampstand church, but they had little strength. But even so, they kept the word of God within them. They held it in their work and in their hearts. The Bible talks about a little child who shall lead the people of God. We hear about that at Christmas time. Read with me Isaiah 11:6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Little things, small things. These are the positive ones, but the Bible also talks about negative things as well. Read with me Proverbs 24, verses 33 and 34. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Get lazy just a little, and you will lose your household. A little folly, and you can lose your life. The Bible talks, if you sow a little, you're going to reap a little. Little things. Your life is made up of little things. The little things in life bring us to big moments. There are very few life-changing experiences that are the result of big things happening to us. Most of what we do in our lives is little things, day by day, day by day. You know what breaks up marriages? Little things. You know, I have discovered in all the counseling that I do with people who are married, who are having marital difficulties, it's just the little things that build up over a period of years sometimes. Those little things slowly eat away. It's also the little things that make some marriages great. In terms of little things like children, it's the little things that make or break your children. It's the little things that you do on a day-to-day basis that either fulfills them or tears them down. It's the little things. It's the small things. It's the little things that you do in your jobs or have done to you in your jobs that become irritants or blessings to you. It's the little things. Let me tell you a little bit about my life ministry. Each week I give a message pretty much up here. I know that I have to be decent up here. I have to do my homework, and I strive to be good. That's my goal, to be good. On Sunday morning and when I do Wednesday night Bible studies, I strive to be good. Because little by little, over a number of years, those messages and Bible studies begin to affect people like you. Occasionally, there is a great message or a great Bible study. At least I've been told that, but I never know when it's going to happen. I never know that. They just happen once in a while, but if you don't do the work, it won't ever happen. But I know that little by little, over a period of years, those messages begin to seep down into the cracks in people, like water seeps into cracks, and I know that. But that's not all I do in terms of ministry. Ministry is made up of a lot of little things that I do on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes it's counseling. Sometimes it's administration. Sometimes it's just visiting people in their homes, maybe at their workplace or in hospitals or in nursing homes. Sometimes it's teaching. Sometimes it's fixing something around the church here, even though I missed that course in seminary, because I'm not trained for that. But there occasionally I can do something. My ministry is made up of a lot of little things around this church. And church, by the way, is not the building. It's the people. You. I know that my personal spiritual growth affects you folks as well. Collectively as a church, you grow as I do, whether you want to or not, or even know it or not. And so little by little, day by day, I try to continue to grow spiritually, little by little. I know that most of you have gone to the great banquet, but a few of you haven't had that opportunity or taken that opportunity. So I want to invite you to go to the great banquet this fall. It's just a little thing, actually. It's out of the 25,000 to 30,000 days of your life, it's 3 days. It's a little thing. This fall, we're getting ready to do number 106 and number 107. We strive to make each number like number one in that we take care of the details, the little things. You see, the great banquet is made up of a lot of little things. It's the little things that people do while they're sitting there at the table or leading in music or working in the kitchen or cleaning toilets or giving one of the talks. It makes all the difference on all of these weekends that's what makes them good. Occasionally, I've been told there is a great banquet that happens, but they're all good. It's the little things that we do that makes the difference. Read with me Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. Whom will he teach knowledge? And to whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from the milk, those taken from the breast. For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little, there a little. Now, Isaiah is asking a question in this scripture. He says, who will God teach and who will he explain the message to? And he tells us those who have grown a little in terms of their spiritual life. And then he tells how it gets done. It's principle by principle. He says it twice. It's line upon line. He says that twice as well. And then he says, here a little, there a little. And I am so glad this is in the Word of God because it sounds like old McDonald's farm, doesn't it? If you want to have great knowledge, understanding, and wisdom from Scripture for living, you do it day by day. A little bit of time, line upon line, line upon line. If you want to grow in your Christian action, you do that on a regular basis, a little bit here, a little bit there, as you come across it, and as you do it intentionally. If you want to bend your heart towards the will of God, you'll do it a little bit here, a little bit there, and you keep doing it. These messages on Sunday morning are the way that I exercise the principle of leaven with you folks. Little things. I bring people like you along little by little. You don't get it all done at one time. What about you guys? What about your life? One of the most crippling thoughts we can have is that God is so big and so busy running this vast universe that the life of someone so small like myself and insignificant as me, he doesn't care about. He doesn't have anything to do. We're not the object of his attention. We have this thinking that people like world leaders or maybe spiritual giants, important people, get God's attention. But as for myself, well, he really isn't interested. I'm either not spiritual enough or significant enough. That's bad thinking. In the Old Testament, there was this guy named Zerubbabel. What was his mother thinking when she named him that? Zerubbabel. And he was trying to get the temple built after years of exile and neglect, and he only managed a very small start on the project. He was overwhelmed by opposition from the people that lived around Jerusalem, and then he had to fight his own depression over his failure to get it really going. And he really was down in the mouth about the whole thing. Then his preacher showed up by the name of Zechariah, and he said, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Small beginnings. In the New Testament, a young boy shows up at a big revival, and he only has a couple of fish and loaves of bread. He was insignificant in this crowd of thousands of people hearing Jesus teach. And yet when the disciples went looking for food, the boy gave them what he had. What came of those small things was the feeding of the 5,000. And for 2,000 years, we have been hearing about that particular miracle, and it was because of this small boy. Do not despise the day of small things. A widow passes the treasury box in the temple. She drops in 2 small coins. It's all that she has. It was a small gift from the world's perspective. It was almost foolish from the world's perspective. What did she know that she didn't know that Jesus was watching her? And he let the world know that she actually gave more than anybody else. Her story has been used to inspire millions of people to give billions of dollars over the centuries to advance the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Do not despise the day of small things. We don't know what is small or large in God's eyes. Spiritual size is not measured in the same way that physical size is measured. What measuring tool shall we use to measure what love is? And yet love is very real, and it's really more real than a lot of the things that we think are so substantial. When Jesus saw that widow gave more, it wasn't just a pretty saying that he was saying. It was a spiritually accurate measurement of that moment. We just don't have that yardstick in our physical measurement tools. When we are born, our world is very small. As we grow, it may become quite large. Our kingdoms grow, and some of them, well, could be described as very large by the worldly standards that we have in this world. If we live long enough and we grow old enough, it will become small again. If we do not learn to find God in our small worlds, we are never going to find God at all. When we are physically healthy, our world may seem very large with a lot of stuff going on and very vital and very demanding of us. But if we get sick with some kind of debilitating disease like cancer or heart disease or other life-threatening diseases that are in this world, our worlds will shrink down to a small size. We may only have enough energy to receive treatment. We may only have enough energy to pray and do the essentials in life. We need to learn that God is not in the size of things. That's not the issue. God is in the little things. Do not despise the day of small things. Mother Teresa used to advise, don't try to do great things for God. Do small things with great love. Do not despise the day of small things. For of such is the kingdom of God. A small thing is like a mustard seed, which in the kingdom will be great indeed, but looks very small and insignificant in terms of our human eyes. It's kind of like yeast, which eventually will permeate and transform everything, but to us appears very small, the smallest of ingredients in that cake. Babies in mangers appear small and insignificant, but that's how God comes to us. Do not despise the day of small things. If you think about Jesus, if you read the Gospels, Jesus mostly did small things. He talked and ate with obscure people, a Samaritan woman by the well, a disgraced prostitute, a tax collector. He hung out with children that were so small that his disciples tried to shoo him away. His final miracle before he was crucified was to restore and heal a sliced off ear. Do not despise the day of small things, for that is the day that the Lord has made. And that is where we find him. Now, this is just a little message for you today. You have ears to hear.